I'll tell you what, it is all about the music today. If you're listening to the show, I think it was a couple of weeks back, you would have heard me have a chat to Jeffrey Williams from Ballarat's Virtual Soul Choir. What I love about hosting this program is that at times you discover stuff that you just didn't see coming. I got off air that day and Andrew Fry, our production manager, said to me, he said, "Hey, Brett, that Jeffrey fellow you spoke to, you know he's done a little bit when it comes to music?" I said, yeah, I know all about the Virtual Soul Choir. I know. He said, "Did you know he wrote for Michael Jackson and Dusty Springfield? He even played at Wembley." I thought we've got to scratch the surface here and find out a little bit more. Who else best to tell us that the man himself, the boy from Buninyong these days, it is Jeffrey Williams. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Morning. The boy from Buninyong. The title of something there, for sure.
I can see that on your next business card, Jeffrey.
or another piece of music. Boy from Buninyong.
As long as you put me in the credit, okay? I'll be happy with that.
Cool. Yeah, sure.
Jeffrey, you are a dark horse. I mean, you yourself and George have done amazing things around the Virtual Soul Choir. But, looking back at your career, does it seem a bit surreal to be here in Australia these days and think to yourself, I actually did that?
Sometimes. You kind of, obviously, it is surreal when you move countries, you know, from UK to Australia. But and then sometimes you're just kind of focused on what you're doing and trying to do a good job with what's in front of you, but you don't really pay attention to what's kind of gone behind. And sometimes it sort of comes looming up and you go, I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah, that was me. I was there. Now, before
maybe.
I'm pretty sure you were. Now, Jeffrey, before we get into some of the amazing stuff that you've done, let's go back in time. So you're of Afro-Caribbean descent. You're living in the UK. You're a teenager. What was life like?
It was like tea and crumpets, strawberries and cream. But along with that, it was actually pretty tricky.
Yeah.
On one level, you had... when I was about 14 or so, they brought out the Suss Law. The Suss Law was a law that allowed police the freedom to stop and search anyone they thought might be about to commit a crime.
Wow.
And 99%, that's my number... 99% of the people they stopped were of Afro-Caribbean descent. So you had that on one side, and I got stopped a few times. Luckily, my dad was at home the one time I got stopped, which I thought, I don't think I might end up in the back of a van with a big boot in my groin. That was the police on one side. On the other side, you had the right. It was a big rise of the National Front, the right wing, and the BNP. So it was a pretty rough time. Friends got stopped, people, and some of those guys that got stopped who weren't as, let's say, amenable as me, they got beaten up and some of them died in prison, So it was a pretty scary time, actually.
So it inspired you to write some music, though?
Well, yeah, That's one of the things that the ways that I express myself is through music. So, when I was asked by Stella Savvy, the famous, the well-known, the beautiful, the lovely Stella, we did a project with the Boîte, which was a choral project, and we called it Windrush. And I wrote some songs with George, my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote some songs based the story around my mum and dad's migration from the Caribbean to the UK. And one of those songs was a song called Dynamite, which was first based on something that my dad said once to me. And then I kind of turned it into a song that was based on my troubles or that particular moment in time, sort of crystallized in 1977-1978.
I hope we don't have the Suss Law in Buninyong these days, do we?
I haven't seen any evidence of the
Suss
Law.
Good.
I've I've seen, you know, we're all masked up, so you can't tell who's a bandit and who isn't. We're all bandits.
Yeah, we are. We're all the bad guys. You're right. Now, your songwriting obviously started very early, Jeffrey, but reading your bio today, you've written for artists such as Michael Jackson and Dusty Springfield. That must, again, seem a little bit surreal.
You know, the Dusty Springfield one doesn't seem surreal because we actually worked with her in the studio.
Wow.
So I wrote that song, a song called Born This Way, with a friend of mine called Simon Sterling, all those years ago, and we wrote it together, and then we were asked to come and, you know, program it in the studio with Dusty and her producer, who was Dan Hartman, actually.
Ah, I Can Dream About You.
That's right. And yeah. So I knew of Dan Hartman. I was actually really excited to meet both of them for different reasons. Dan Hartman, you know, I danced to Instant Replay in the disco. You know, when I went clubbing, I danced myself. I loved that tune.
Yeah.
And also I Can Dream About You. And then Dusty, you know, I loved Dusty's work. Oh. It was really a real privilege to be able to work with them and do that. And then it's the Michael Jackson one that is most surreal.
Yeah, tell us about this story.
Well, I'll try and keep it brief.
Yeah.
So I wrote this song with a good friend of mine, and I had this old Metro car. This car was a very old car that I'd bought, the first car I ever bought, and I took a friend to an appointment, and while I was sitting waiting for her, I was writing all this stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what those two people are doing. And I just made this stuff up, three A4 sheets. And then I got together with a friend of mine, another writer, a friend of mine, Gil Sang, and he had this groove, and I said, oh, I've got these lyrics. So we put this song together, a song called Whatever Happens. And I sang it, and you know, it was sort of out of my range, but I just thought, this is the right key for it. And nothing ever really happened with it. I never recorded it myself. I did a demo of it. And then 3 years later, I get a call from my publisher saying, are you sitting down? And I go, yeah, why?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson wants to record Whatever Happened.
Wow. 3 years after you wrote it?
Yeah, 3 years after I'd written it.
And did it end up on a Michael Jackson album?
It did. After nine months of growth.
Yeah.
The story grew. You know, there was a moment where there was just a rumour. I had to keep myself together because you're going, your brain just goes, oh my God, I'm going to be famous. No, wait, hold it. There was the news in the paper saying Michael Jackson works with Carlos Santana. And it so happens that Carlos Santana plays on the record.
Yeah.
And you're going, okay, that's a very interesting thing. I just keep myself balanced.
It's
bigger and bigger. And the reason I did that was because there's no guarantee, just because he's recording it, there's no guarantee he'll end up on the record. I've had several cuts on hold for writers. They say, yeah, we're going to do it, they record it, and then it never ends up on the album.
Doesn't make it. So did you actually meet Michael then?
No.
No.
Unfortunately. Wow. I really wanted to, but it was all done through, you know, he had the song, and he recorded it with Teddy Riley, and it ended up on Invincible.
Okay.
Invincible album.
Well, you might not have met Michael, but you've met Dusty and Dan Hartman, so there's a couple of great names. What about playing at Wembley, Jeffrey Williams? That must have been amazing.
Wembley, I played at Wembley Arena, and it was sort of the culmination of a tour that I did with Wet Wet Wet. I was the support act for Wet 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 in the early 90s.
Right.
And so we'd done all these kind of big little, well, I suppose they're big. We did a gig in Glasgow, we did Sheffield, we did Birmingham, and then we culminated in Wembley. And my mum and dad came. They'd never seen me perform before. And it was quite a thing. To perform there, and we did a good job. We did a really good job.
What sort of crowd size, Jeffrey, do you know?
We had a good 8,000.
Wow. There.
It wasn't completely full, but it cold 11. I think we had a good showing. And a friend of mine said to me, because I was terrified, I went on the stage, and I was terrified when we were doing the sound check, And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this place is humongous. How am I going to do a gig here? And also this whole thing of it being, you know, close to home because I lived in London.
Mm.
So my friend said, look, just go right to the back of the auditorium. Go right to the back. Walk all the way around the back, just the back and the sides there, just so you get an idea of the size of it. And that was really good advice. And when I went on stage, so I actually had a physical a representation of how big it was. I wasn't just standing there thinking, how far did it go back? I knew how far it went.
And well, and that helped ease the nerves, did it?
Oh, yeah, it really helped. It really helped. Yeah.
There you go.
Just to get an idea of the size of the place.
Yeah, 8,000 at Wembley. Well, look, time is against us, Geoffrey, but from 2017 Australian National Busking Championship to lecturing at the VCA and, of course, now the Virtual Soul Choir, you've done it all. And we can expect Virtual Soul Choir Mark III project next month. Is that right?
Yes, November the 1st is Mark III.
Okay. Look forward to finding out more about it. All right.
Great.
Remember to use that phrase too, Geoffrey, the boy from Buninyong.
The boy from Buninyong.
We're proud.
The boy from Buninyong.
There's the melody. It's all coming together. Geoffrey Williams, you are amazing. Thanks for chatting with us on Ballarat Today.
Pleasure. Thanks.
This is Ballarat Today.